This is a Spirit of Truth Radio Network original program.
Lately, I've been asking myself the question, where is God in hardship? Especially when you're working to do what you think is His will. How do you persevere those hard times? And what can you learn from them? Rejoining me along the way is a guy that took on a monumental project and came out the other side a better man for it. Back again to help me understand a little better is my friend, Jay Goodman. Back in episode 45 of this podcast, we introduced you to a really good friend, Jay Goodman. Jay has gone and done the incredible. He has my total respect for what he pulled off during Lent. If this was a video, we'd be showing like a burning building in slow motion and Jay Goodman would be walking out triumphantly. But he's with us again here in episode 51. This is right after the Lenten season. My guest is Jay Goodman. Jay, welcome.
Dave, aloha. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, man. It's good to have you back. Like I said, you pulled off the impossible. The Holy Spirit truly was moving through you and with you and making a great, absolutely great series of videos. Tell us about a little bit about what you went through.
Well, I know a lot of people say, hey, all glory to God. I really, truly, like, could not have done this without the Holy Spirit and my wife. Seriously. And I'm not just saying that because she can probably hear me in the other room. Brownie points, right?
Always. No.
It's a green light of the month. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I really couldn't have done it without, I could not have done it without the Holy Spirit. I needed God to help me do this. It was insane. I don't even know where to start, Dave.
Let me help you out, because I think you had a great community of people around you. The guests that you had on the show really, really made it a great show. I mean, you had some tremendous guests. Anybody that stood out particularly? Yeah.
Well, Jim Beckman, of course. He and I he's been a close family friend since before the kids were born. I mean, 2006, he was at our wedding, and 2004 when we got married, and then he was at every baby's birth, you know, taking pictures and being with us, and not at the birth, but you know what I mean. I see the head. No, he was at every birth. He was at every baptism. He just was always there for me, and I thought of him, and then I figured out how big he got, and I'm like, oh boy, I don't think he's gonna do it. But I texted him, and he's like, heck yeah, I'll do it. He said he just got done doing a whole Screwtape series at his church, like teaching people, taking them through it, and he said it's fresh in my mind, I would love to do it. And that was after, like, several months ago I asked him if he'd do a podcast, and he said, I just can't do it right now, I'm too busy. Well, that's what he was busy with, interestingly enough.
Wow. After going through all that you've gone through, how relevant do you think Screwtape letters are today as they were back when C.S. Lewis wrote them?
So that's what's interesting, is as I read it and studied it and learned it and did the commentary at times and had other people do the commentary, like Jim and Chris Stefanik, I think it's 100% relevant. And it's gotten more relevant as, you know, in today's world that we live in. It's almost like some things C.S. Lewis talked about have come true, have gotten worse, have gotten more exacerbated by Satan in today's world. And I mean, I don't know how else to say it, except Satan has gotten extremely relevant nowadays and much needed to the world to bring down people more than even back then.
Mm.
But back then the war was going on, you know, World War II. And so it was crazy back then too.
Sure. Hey, you started out real strong, came out like gangbusters. Tell me a little bit about the process, because you switched from, you know, your podcast, which is Talking with a Good Man. I got it right this time. Not like in episode 45 where I screwed that up. Back then you were doing just audio, which I feel is a lot easier to do. But then you went into video. What was the struggles with that?
Oh, I had never done it before, first of all. But I mean, I'd done videography before, but not like that. Not in such an extreme, like you put it on the phone the other day, like a ranger school of videography. Mm-hmm. My son, just one day I was getting ready to do like the audio, and my son said, hey, you should do it on video. And I'm like, I don't have time for that. And he's like, yeah, but it'd be really cool. You should do it. My oldest son. And I said, okay, I'll do it. What the heck? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yes. And I didn't know what I was getting myself into. It was crazy. I guess I had to come up with the song. I had to come up with the intro, because it has to be the same every time, like a TV show, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of developed over a few days. But once I found that song, which my sons both helped me with it, because they love playing guitar and electric guitar. And I was going through these different licks on my program. I have access to all this free, not free, I'm sorry. I pay for access to all this music every month on LumaFusion. And I came across this one lick that you hear in the show, and both my kids heard it. They normally are like, "Dad, that's stupid. You're old, you know." But this one, they're like, "That's really, really cool." Yeah. I think that's the one.
Yeah.
It's kind of hip. It describes you as a person, Dad, and how you are. And I said, "Sweet, let's do it." And so we put it in there, and I kind of cut it up and fixed it a little bit to match the timing I needed to, because you don't want to have people watching an intro for 2 minutes. You want it about 20 to 40 seconds, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So then things started to get a little bit harder as the daily grind went on.
Yeah.
The weekends a couple times to catch up. Please tell us how that constant wearing down started to affect you.
It started out great, like the rose-colored glasses, you know, like the honeymoon stage. Mm-hmm. As with anything, it was great. And we were in the hotel in Waikiki because of the water evacuation here in Hawaii. That's a whole other story. Got a little water contamination, well, a lot of water contamination, and we had to all go to the hotels as a army entity, you know. And so 5,000 soldiers and all their families and all the hotels. My point in saying that is I had all this ample area down in Waikiki, in the best place ever to film. You know, I can film myself walking at night. I can go to the cafe on the beach, all these really cool, quippy places to record. And so I had all that at my disposal, and it was fun. I mean, we homeschool, so she would teach the kids, and I could leave and go do things, you know, and film and record and try it again and get it right. And then about, I'd say, letter 14 to 20, things started really kind of like a boiling pot in my family, getting, you know, heated up. Kids are starting to say, "I'm sick of the screw tape letters, Dad. You know, that's all you do." And my wife saying, "I'm tired of this." Actually saying, "When are you going to be done with it?" I'm like, "At the end of Lent." You know? And so it was just this kind of boiling pot, getting, you know, more and more pressure as it went on. And to a point where Satan started really messing with me and causing some weird things. Like, you know how sometimes your wife or somebody says something and you're upset, so you're perceiving it differently than what they meant to be heard? I literally perceived my wife saying, and she didn't say this, by the way, I heard her say in my mind, "I don't want you to do this. I hate it. I'm going to try and thwart you from finishing." And I came back at her, you know, a little bit later, and I said, "Hey, when you said this," and I repeated it to her, it made me really mad. I mean, I'm trying to do this and serve God and still have my family. And she's like, "I never said that." And I said, "What? Yeah, you did. I heard you say it." She said, "Honey, I promise you, I did not say that." So it's interesting what Satan can cause you to perceive sometimes.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder sometimes. And thank you for staying with it. And thank your wife and your kids for supporting you through that. It truly was a challenge that you came through. What did you learn about yourself through that Lenten challenge?
I learned that I can be stretched and do some crazy things. I learned a lot about myself, but I don't mean this to sound dark, but I learned a lot about Satan and how he works in our life, like by oppressing us. I never got possessed. I got oppressed a lot. I learned that I can now, as a layperson in the Catholic Church, I can't like speak directly to Satan, because we're not allowed to, only exorcists do that. But I can take charge of my house as the priest of my house and say, "No, I bind you, I cast you out, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, and only because of Jesus, you know, not because of my power." Whereas priests, you know, have a power given to them by God to cast out demons. Mm-hmm. I can just do it in Jesus' name. I'll tell you, I definitely I grew in a lot of strength spiritually from this, as far as standing up to Satan and demonic warfare and oppression, not in a cocky way and like a triumphant way, but in a very humble, like, I can only do this with Jesus kind of power. Like, one night stands out to me, probably the worst night I've had in all of screw tape letters. I was doing dishes. It was really late at night. Like, I just started the upload process, and you got to, you know, let it sit there for a little while. And I started doing dishes, and I saw somebody, I thought it was Dominic, because he likes to sneak up on me sometimes, you know, to mess with me. He had like a black sweater on and his hood over his head. And he ran behind the island real quick to scare me. And I turn around, I'm like, "Nice try, Dominic," you know? And I walk over, and there's nobody there. And I kind of got goosebumps on my arm. And I'm like, whoa, that was, because I saw something black with a hood on dart behind the island. And I said, okay, I didn't get scared because I know we have power with Jesus, you know, and we don't need to be scared. Mm-hmm. So I just, whatever. So I finished, it was really weird, unnerving. So I finished dishes, kind of looking over my shoulder a few times, like, yeah, maybe it is Dominic and he's really good at hiding. So then I sat down on the couch and I'll be honest with you. I got my phone out and it was like 1 or 2 in the morning. And I had this rush of temptation to look at some stuff on the phone I shouldn't look at, you know? And I started going to the Safari app and then I stopped abruptly and I'm like, wait a minute. And I put 2 and 2 together over a few seconds. And I'm like, that was a demon of sexual temptation. It had to be. And so I laughed out loud. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. I go, nice try. Nice try. You really think I'm that stupid? Well, I rebuke you in Jesus' name and I'm going to bed. I'm going to do the thing you don't want me to do. I want to follow God. I want to be holy. And I walked upstairs and laid down and went to sleep. And that was just really weird because I definitely saw something dart past, you know, across the kitchen behind the island. So anyway, just sometimes what I learned about myself, honestly, is sometimes Satan oppresses us. We know that, but I learned that I can verbally say no and say that in Jesus' name.
You know, it's funny, Jay, because we just published our 50th episode, Dave and I, together. And as I was doing some of the post-production editing of that, I felt nothing was going right. Absolutely nothing. The topic that we were talking about is the rosary. Mm-hmm. And nothing was going right. Nothing was going where it was supposed to go, you know, to the different platforms that I was, you know, even post-production editing and just in the software was not going smoothly. There was just so many things that were getting me frustrated. And the show did not come out the way I had originally conceived it. It came out to be more like this, you know, a regular episode of Along the Way. I wanted to have, you know, more things to celebrate our 50th episode, but nothing was going right. And it's funny because where I sit to do my post-production editing, there's a door right next to it. And I kept seeing something dark there. And I kept getting this feeling of depression that was coming over me because I think I was editing something that was so powerful and holy. And I totally understand where you're coming from and what you're saying. So.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I think that was the scariest time. I think the craziest time I'd like to just throw out there and share with you is my last letter. I was getting ready to, I had it all done, ready. I was so excited. I was going to go tell Sarah, hey, I'm uploading it. And then Joseph, I was upstairs. I hear him run up the stairs crying, like not like a baby cry, but just, you know, crying. And he ran inside and he was covered in dirt and blood, like everywhere. He said he fell off his bicycle like really hard. Oh. And he was just bleeding everywhere, tore his arm up, skin. And so literally as I'm about to hit upload, that happens. And so I take care of him. We get him in the bathtub, clean him up a little bit. He's almost 16. He's a big kid, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had to take him to the emergency room. And so now remember, I mean, I do care about my son a lot. I really do. And I'm thinking I'm coming out of Wi-Fi. So I'm at the mercy of cell service and poor hospital Wi-Fi to try and upload this while we're waiting, you know? And so I grabbed all my stuff frantically and got him to the hospital and they checked him in and we had to sit there and wait for like 3 hours or something. And so I went to upload it and then it said I was out of space again, like a lot of spin, and I had no space to give. So I'm sitting there spending literally 3 or 4 hours trying to free up space on my phone and very upset. You talk about depression. I got hit with depression and lack of confidence and you failed. You're not going to get this done. And I just said, well, I guess it's not going to happen today. And then I found literally just enough space to upload that last episode. So I started the process and then we got him home. And then Sarah had to go to mass early for that that last mass on Saturday. And I had to cook. And I'm like, Sarah, I got to get this uploaded. And she's like, I need you to cook. And I said, okay. So I'm cooking and uploading and doing two things at once. And then I finally got it to start. And it took from then to like 12 in the morning to get it to finish uploading because we were in and out of cell service all the time and Wi-Fi. And it was just insane how Satan really messed with me. And Jim told me about early in the episodes, you're really kind of poking the beehive here when you're directly talking about something that exposes Satan. and all his wiles, you know, through the mind of C.S. Lewis.
I think anytime you try to do something holy, and this was going to be one of my questions for you, was anytime you do something holy and you awaken the beast and he starts to mess with you, what would you say throughout the whole process, what would you say was the time that you almost collapsed and weren't able to finish it?
I'd say around letter 22-ish. Sarah and I, like the boiling pot example I talked about, it just kind of came to a head where there's just a lot of arguing and drama, and I was mad at everybody else, and I perceived Sarah telling me, I want you to quit, you're done, I want this out, right. Just, we're done. And I got so mad, I just said, fine, I quit, I'm done, forget it, I'm not doing it anymore, I can't finish this. Mm-hmm. And we have a saying in our family, is Goodmans do hard things, and we don't say I can't, mm-hmm. We finish. And I gave up, I was so mad, and then she, like a day later or something, she told me, I never said that, and I told her, yes, you did, and we went back and forth till I finally realized, wait a minute, this is my pride. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm having a lot of personal pride, like the bad kind, and not being humble and not being tapping into my magnanimity, you know, what I'm great at. And she's like, no, I never said quit. You should finish. You absolutely should finish. And I said, okay. And like, you know, Rocky, when he's in the hospital bed and his wife's like, win, Rocky, win. I felt like that song start in my head. And I'm like, I really can do this. And so I knocked out like three letters a day. Three videos a day for a couple of days, and two here and two there, and I finished. And I think, like I said, I owe it to my wife too, because she really did encourage me through even my pride to finish, you know, my misperceptions of her.
How much time a day were you spending on this project?
I think each letter took 3 to 6 hours.
Really?
Broken up, you know, basically all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember building it, and then I had a rhythm of building it by about 11:30 at night, start the upload at 12, wake up at 3 to check it, and then go back to sleep and wake up at 4 to see if it was in the process where I could turn my phone off, and then wake up at 6:30 for the day. And that happened for a while. And there was even one night I went to upload it and the thing just deleted from my phone. It was just gone. And so from 11:30 to 2 in the morning, I had to completely rebuild the episode from scratch, and pulling stuff quickly and frantically, and then started all over again. And I was up all night, and it was insane.
And you have a job.
And I have a job, active army.
Did this affect your job at all?
No, not at all. I was able to perform and meet the standards and the mission that we have, you know, to do.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what your job is in the army.
I'm a retention and career counselor. So I have about 500 to 600 soldiers that come to our offices for like career questions and reenlistments, extensions. They want to get out. They want to come back in. Mm-hmm. Having problems with their commander. So sometimes I have to go to the commander and tell him what he can and can't do respectfully to his soldiers. I'm also the master fitness trainer for my team. So I keep them all in shape and help them not be overweight. And if they have questions about nutrition or fitness, I'll go to the gym with them and show them a few things, or I'll sit down and like go through their nutrition, their diet, and make sure what they're eating is okay. Mm-hmm. Or if they need to lose weight, I'll put them on a massive weight loss program so they can meet the, you know, standards of the military.
Jay, we may need to talk a little bit offline about that.
Sure.
You are actually doing something. Let's switch gears a little bit just for a little while. We'll come back to the Screwtape Letters. But you are going to be working with Bear Wozniak to do some health and fitness counseling.
Yeah. It's not a secret anymore. I'm kind of letting it out. The cat out of the bag during the show, you know, at various times. But yeah, I'm developing a Catholic men's and women's too, but men's and women's fitness and nutrition program that's totally Catholic centered on the virtues, and it builds on the virtues. But there's actual workouts I'm developing to increase core strength and general strength, and not like trying to make any bodybuilders out there, because that's idolatrous, I think. You know, like the golden calf, I think our bodies can become a golden calf where we worship it. Mm-hmm. And I used to be like that. I was in bodybuilding in my 20s and absolutely worshiped my body. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to idolize it, but I think God gave us a temple we need to take care of. And if we got a little belly and, you know, we're a little out of shape, but we do keep fit in general, I think that's okay. We need to enjoy food and the pleasure of eating. But I think you can get out of hand, and a person can get you know, where they're really unhealthy. And I don't think that's, I don't know, I'm not going to judge the person. You know, they might have medical issues, that kind of thing. But I think we're all meant to not be fit, but be generally healthy. And I want to help people do that while not making it an idol, and staying away from yoga and more just core centered and strength building body weight and some dumbbell workouts, but and also nutrition.
My good buddy is Dave Imhoff, and he followed the Screw Tape Letters, and I'd really like to get Dave's opinion.
Yeah, Jay, congratulations on a great success. You've already covered, and you probably could spend a bunch of podcasts on all the trials and tribulations, but I got to say that in a way you stole my idea. Maybe great minds think alike, but you know, I'm big on these days of reflection and things like that. And I read for the first time the Screw Tape Letters, I think it was about a year and a half ago. And I'm thinking, gee, this would make a good study, whether, you know, like an Into the Breach or a Day of Reflection. So I never thought of doing it the way you did it. So it's just Satan and his minions are out there laying traps for us all the time, and we fall into them. And, you know, the best defense, I think, is understand his tactics. And you know, and you had some great examples, like, oh, I know what he's doing here, and I'm not going to fall for it. I'm going to go to bed, you know, and you did. And so it's just a great service to people to be able to understand that. So I really enjoyed it. I didn't put the attention to it that, you know, I did it on Apple Podcasts thing. I just listened. I was telling Dave before the show started, I caught up with a bunch of them while I was raking leaves at my camp, getting ready for the season. So I did about 6 hours worth right in a row to finish it up. But fantastic job. And now it's out there. You know, you can go back and listen to it. People can go back and listen to it and, you know, continue to get good things out of it. I was also listening to, I continued to do it. In Lent, I did a lot of stuff, but I've been doing the Bible in a Year, which I'm sure you're familiar with, Father Mike Schmidt. And, you know, so I'm doing that. I'm listening to the Screw Tape Letters and, you know, a few other things that I do. But anyway, fantastic job. We need to understand what Satan and his devils are doing and how they, what their tactics are so that we can combat them. And that's, you know, that's the bottom line. And you're doing a great service. Dave is absolutely right. Whenever you're doing something and you're poking the beehive, I like the way you said that. Whenever you do, you find that things start going bad, or seems like it, you're fighting with your family, things, you know, when you step back and you say, okay, I like to say Satan's nipping at my heels here. And that's, you know, he's messing with you. So, you know, when you're doing something good, when that's happening, that's,
yes,
keep up the good work.
I appreciate it.
We got a mutual friend down in Louisiana who would say, you're poking him in the chest.
Yeah. So true.
That's a shout out to Trace.
Dave, Patrick Campbell in episode 50. I have not listened to our episode 50 yet.
Yeah.
Of course, I was there when we recorded it. And he does work with exorcists. He does exorcism work. He doesn't actually do exorcisms. He's not a priest. But right. He assists. And he says, you know, keep praying rosary, because I wish people could hear the devil moan and groan when he hears the Our Father and he hears the Hail Mary. Isn't that what he says? Something like that, Dave?
Yeah, he said that the devil actually moans with the Hail Mary. I'm sorry, with the Our Father, and he whimpers with the Hail Mary. So
I'm reading the Diary of an American Exorcist with my kids at night by Father Rossetti. And I actually talked to him, and I've been reading the book, and he's been kind of telling me as I was going through Screw Tape Letters how Satan works. And just, it's crazy. It's insane. And there's one thing that happened to him was, and we can't do this as lay people, obviously. He can do it as a priest. But when the demons are in the person and the person's like screaming at the priest, it's because the demons can't, and they said this to the priest. He said in one diary with a possessed person. The person screamed at the demon screamed through the person at Father Rossetti, "I can't stand looking at you because I see Jesus," you know, and they just kept turning away and wouldn't look at him. So he commanded the demon, you know, "You will look at me and see Jesus," because he knows it hurts them so much. And it causes them physical pain of the most immense pain in the world to even see somebody like a priest that, you know, represents Jesus, you know, in persona Christi.
Sure.
For us to, you know, take on, so to speak, you know, for me to take on Satan with the screw tape letters, not take him on, but you know what I mean? Just
I know exactly what you mean. Because, you know,
to expose him.
Yeah. The True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort. That's another book that just will absolutely bring that demonic oppression on you. I had a deacon when I was, right after I had done my total consecration to Mary, I was talking with a deacon about it, and he said, you're lucky you made it through alone, because it was such a, it just awakens the dragon.
Yeah.
What is next for you after this?
So I was just thinking about that today. I'm going to go back to my monthly podcast. I'm going to be doing that, but I think I might stick to video if people will allow me to. I have one coming up with a good friend of mine who is a colonel in the Navy. He does some stuff I can't say and he can't say, secret clearance stuff.
So he's
he
a captain.
Can't do video.
If he's got the full bird on, then he's a captain.
Whatever 05 in the Navy is?
That's captain.
Okay, yeah, captain. So, but what he does, he can't have his face on video. Uh-huh. So we have to do it. I said, well, why don't we do a video with the block in your face, you know, where you're like... He said, I can't. They have technology to remove the block.
Yeah.
So, are you kidding me?
They do.
So, yeah.
We use it on you right now.
We're gonna do audio.
So,
oh, great.
Yeah.
So, get that ugly mug out. Yeah, of here.
We know what the real Jay Goodman looks like.
You actually do it for Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, again, I've said it before. I've said it many times. I have a face for radio and a voice for silent meditation. So, there it is again. So what is next?
No, I think coming up, definitely going to get the workout stuff ready and do it in a way that's original that nobody's ever seen before in the Catholic world. And I don't know if it'll hit people. I have had, like, Marlon De La Torre did tell me this is a good thing. I think we need this.
Yeah.
I said, if it wasn't, would you tell me? And he's like, yeah, I would. I would tell you, don't do it. I would do something different.
No, there's definitely.
But he said he loves it.
For that, there's definitely a need for that.
Yeah, definitely. I want to continue the podcast. Father Rossetti is going to do this with me in a few months. Stephen Ray is coming back, do another one with me. I've gotten to know him.
Yeah.
Follow ups with Jim Beckman, kind of like what happened to him spiritually as he was doing this with me.
Yep.
And I thought about doing a behind the scenes podcast until you asked me, and then I said, "Sweet, I don't have to do it."
Well, am I missing anything? Is there anything that, you know, happened that I don't know about? Because, you know, you and I would have some conversations through, you know, throughout the process. I knew how busy you were and I didn't want to bother you with things, but I wanted to encourage you. I could sense by some of our conversations that it was getting tough. And I felt like the guy who was, you know, sending you on in the charge in the hail of bullets. But, you know, I really believed in what you were doing and I just wanted to encourage you. So, but is there anything that I'm missing?
I would say as my friend, I'm getting to know, thank you for you being there for me. I mean, the few times you seemed to always, whenever we did talk, because I know you called a few times and I couldn't answer. And the times you did call and I answered, you called at the perfect time. It's interesting how God works. And your words kind of gave me more strength and oomph to, you know, continue with what I was doing. One thing I did want to say is Satan is real. I know everybody listening to this probably believes that, but he really is real. And I think we should talk about it more, not about him, because we don't want to give him power. But I think people need to understand that when they struggle with sins and they struggle with even family arguments and that kind of thing, it's almost always demonic. Not by oppression or possession, but just the influences of that. And I think as men, if you're a father, you need to take charge of your house spiritually. Not like, you will do what I say, but like, you need to take charge of it spiritually and bind those demons in Jesus' name. Don't do it yourself. Do it in Jesus' name and call Michael the Archangel. You know, I've got this statue for a reason right next to me all the time. And call him and remember your death. Remember that we're all going to die someday. And how futile this life is. Ecclesiastes talks about that. But just to take charge of our lives and realize that all these temptations we have and struggles as men, especially sexually, is totally Satan. And reading the Screwtape Letters can make you a stronger Christian to stand up to the fuddleness of Satan in our lives. And another thing I'd say is to remember that formula that Jim brought up in one of the letters, self-awareness plus self-giving equals self-mastery. So if we become, as we can become more aware as Catholics, because there are those Catholics out there that go, you know, submarine Catholics that come up for Easter and Christmas and go back down. I love them and I want them to come to church, you know, but you got to understand, like, you can't just do that. You've got to jump in with everything in you with our Catholic faith, with the one true faith, and realize it is so true that as you become more self-aware of your bad things and good things, you can, and then give of yourself away, that will equal self-mastery in all the right ways.
Talk to me a little bit about the book that you used in the Screwtape Letters, the study guide.
Yeah, Marlon De La Torre, the Screwtape Teachers of Faith. Mm-hmm. He loves it. Of course, he wrote it. But he loves how it flowed and how God gave him that, the way that it flows from, you know, relativism to self-mastery to sexual temptations and pride. Yeah, there's 31, obviously, sections in it. It's a guide for catechists, you know, basically founded on the world, the flesh, and me, in essence. And at the bottom line, there's good and there's evil, and which one are you going to choose? And how Satan tries to thwart you at every chance he can get to cloud your intellect, to distort things, to confuse you, to fuddle you. He uses that word a lot. C.S. Lewis does. Mm-hmm. And basically creating habits, distorting good things, and causing you to eventually go to hell, hopefully, in Satan's mind, so he can have you as his puppet for eternity.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about perseverance. This is something that I'm actually doing a little bit of writing on right now. How did you persevere through this?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is God, but I mean, I think we're looking for a more, like, God gave us a brain to use, you know? Mm-hmm. I think what sustained me the most was just, I did mess up. I sin every day. I fail every day at something. And I think I just need to get back on that horse and keep moving forward. Just keep plowing forward, no matter how I'm feeling, no matter how bad it got. Just do the next thing. Do the next video. Do the next shoot. Write stuff down. I was in some weird places when I thought of things to write down. And so I quick get my phone out and write it down and put a little thing next to it. If you saw the notes in my head and on my phone and I could put it all out on a board, it would look like the murder thing where they're investigating it, and all the cord, the red cords going all different directions, you know? Yeah. And the detective gets it, but nobody else understands the word.
Sure.
So I think what sustained me the most was just moving forward. Never stop moving forward. Now I sound like Dory in that show. Just keep swimming, you know. But it's true, you know. I just had to keep moving forward. Just do the next thing and keep going.
You think that's something we learned in the military, is to just keep moving? Because I have that.
Oh, of course.
That same. I don't want to call it a mentality, but it's that same viewpoint. It's, you know, I've had situations where people have told me, oh, you got to be patient. You got to wait, and you got to do. No. Let's keep going. Let's, you know, we're on a roll. Let's keep going. And I was just wondering if you think that that's something that we learned being in the military.
Oh yeah. I think it came to play a lot spiritually for me. I mean, the whole Screwtape Letter thing for me was kind of like a big ruck march. If you've ever done like a 10 miler and you've got 3 hours to get it done, and you've got your 40-pound ruck and your boots and you've got everything you need.
And an M60 machine gun.
Yep.
Yep.
And then 6 miles in, you got blisters, and you know, if you take your boot off, you know, the boot's not going back on. Mm-hmm. And so then you have to take it off. Then you use duct tape and then moleskin, and it's nasty, and just got to keep going. Just figure it out later, deal with it afterwards, you know? Mm-hmm. And sadly, I will say, some family stuff, I had to just say, I'm going to have to deal with that after the Screwtape Letters, you know, and unfortunately pick things up after we're done, mm-hmm. you know, like hurt feelings and that kind of stuff.
Well, you can always take a minute for tenderness. That's the,
of course.
That's the hallmark of a good man is to, no pun intended, is to be able to be gentle.
Yes. I totally agree.
I keep asking you, what's next? I mean, what's next year? What's next season going to bring? Are you going to redo these or are you going to?
I don't know. I'm tempted to, but I'm more interested in the smaller Lent of the year, Advent. I've got a kind of a little thing up my sleeve I'm working on for Advent.
Always thinking. So what do you want to talk about, my friend?
I think that workout thing, I keep getting flashes of ideas because the way I work is I don't write it down at first. It kind of percolates in my head and it's all over the place. Yep. And so I keep getting these little flashes of how the opening will look and what kind of workouts I'll do and core exercises. And but we've been selling Shackley Nutrition for 17 years and I've been taking it 18 years and I've been taking it for 17 years. So I want to incorporate Shackley into it because it works. It's been around since 1956. So
tell me a little bit more about that because I don't know anything about it. All I know is my wife is Sicilian and she makes the best pasta there is.
So, and I will be there tomorrow.
You're invited.
That sounds amazing.
Anytime. Yep.
No, it's Dr. Shackley. It was in the 20s, and he was the first person in the United States to develop the first multivitamin. To bring the idea from a guy in England who developed the first multivitamin, but then he developed it first in the United States and made it a thing using only organic compounds and, you know, plants and correct things with no pesticides or anything. And that was in 1956 when it actually went into a business. And since then, that's their big thing is they don't have any toxins in their product, no natural, you know, like lead, arsenic, mercury, all the things that are naturally occurring. Mm-hmm. They're the only nutrition company I know of that spends the $300 or $400 million to take it all out all the time. So mm-hmm. like for instance, nutrition company will tell you don't ever give a protein shake mix to a baby because it's so high in concentrated natural toxins. Shackley, you can give it to newborns and babies.
Wow.
You can mix it up in their bottle and give them a little protein.
Wow.
It's totally fine.
Are you still working with Bear?
Yeah, things are going great. It's slowed down a bit because of tax season, but for him. But it's starting to pick back up and we've got several platoons that we're forming. That's what we're calling it because it's not, military thinking of men, small groups of 4 to 5 men in each platoon, like Alpha Bravo, Charlie Delta, all the way down. Mm-hmm. And those men are meant to get close and keep in touch and be that rock of support to each other.
What a great idea.
So I've been forming that.
Guys, I definitely identify with Band of Brothers mentality. So that's a great great way to work on it. We're going to be doing some work together, you and I, hopefully, Dave Imhoff as well. We're going to be doing some Into the Breach stuff.
Yes.
We just need you to sort of coordinate that a little bit. Dave, if anybody wants to get in touch with you about bringing Into the Breach to their parish, can they do that?
Absolutely.
You want to tell people how they can get a hold of you?
Well, you can put my email address in the show notes if you want. My cell phone number, I guess.
I'm not going to put your cell phone number up, but I will put your email up.
Oh, you could do that.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be getting calls from...
If it comes across and says probable scam, I never answer those. Yeah. So.
Well, the thing is, we have such a nice listenership in Germany now, which I don't understand why, but we do. We have a large proportion of our listenership that is outside the United States is coming from Germany. So I, you might get some calls from Germany or something. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the nice thing about being a podcaster and not a broadcaster. The world is our oyster. Let the broadcasters, argue about the small market, the big market. We found the people that like to listen to our show and we are eternally grateful to every single one that listens to us. And I'll tell you what, I'm really, really thankful. I got to give a shout out to my good friend, Pat Gervais, who introduced Jay Goodman to me. And Jay, I appreciate your friendship and everything like that.
Yeah.
Looking forward to working with you in the future.
Oh, and to all the German listeners out there, guten Tag, willkommen in der Show. Welcome to the show.
I knew a guy who married a German girl years and years ago. I mean, I was like 20 years old and we were all sitting at the table one night and I started talking in German to her and she says, "Where did you learn to speak German?" Because she was laughing and I said, "Hogan's Heroes."
I remember that show.
Mike LaMarche, I think that was his name. I remember Mike. He was a nice guy. But anyways, we should work on something next year, but let's do it a little bit before you have to publish it every day. I think we should Maybe get somebody like you and maybe Pat Gervais and Trace and Bear and ask a few other former guests from along the way to do something with the Stations of the Cross.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. And whatever you think of, I think that'd be fun. We just, definitely need to do it earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't wish this on anybody doing it every day like that, unless I was getting paid a lot of money, then I would do it. I'm just kidding.
Sorry, man. You're under contract and your contract, you can't break it. No, they frown upon giving you a letter of resignation.
Right.
So what rank are you, by the way?
Sergeant First Class, E7.
Yeah.
On the enlisted side. You've
done well. Kept your nose clean.
I have, fortunately.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I feel pretty complete. Like I got to mention everything that I have all these notes below the screen on my iPad. And I don't know. I was kind of going through it and I think I covered everything. I think my kids were instrumental in this. Like I said, we read every night. We were doing the catechism in a year or the Bible in a year, then a catechism in a year. Now we're reading the Diary of an Exorcist and doing Bear's School of Manliness for 2 to 5 minutes every night. I think this has brought me closer to my boys, closer to my wife and my daughter, because she's 7, so there's nothing bad about her yet.
Daddy's little girl. No.
She absolutely is. But I can relate more with the guys because we're all males, you know, in that sense. And I think it made me more keen on how Satan works. So I can interpret things that happen in my life, I guess. Maybe that's something to talk about. Satan really does work in our lives. And like Into the Breach says, God has a plan for our life, but so does Satan. And he absolutely has a plan for our life.
Mm-hmm.
To fuddle us, to mess with us, to distort things, and get us to go to hell.
That point was made clear to you, by the misinterpretation with your wife.
Yes.
You know, he was fuddling with you. And I mean, he did not want this product out there.
No, that's what I was going to say is I think that he knew this would happen and it would, and I would, because he can't stop it because, I mean, he could, but I don't think he would have, and he knew that. But I think that he knew it would happen, but he wanted to make it as difficult as possible of an experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like his thinking probably was, let him have some fun for the first 12 episodes and then start easing it in and then just get it right when it hurts the most in like the 20s. In the letters, because there's 31 letters. So in the 20s, start really messing with him. And then when the sexual temptation episodes with the letters talk about sexual temptation for the patient, really lay it on thick, you know? And then that last letter, we're going to just hit him really hard. We're going to hurt his kids, you know, not literally, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Like whether Satan orchestrated that bicycle accident or not, or if it was just something that happened, I don't know. I won't know till I die and go to heaven and know for sure. But in thinking like that, I could see how it would make sense to really mess with me that last day. Little did he know, I love God very much and God gave me a lot of strength to realize right when it happened, I got mad at first for like 10 seconds, not at Joseph, but just, you've got to be kidding me. I can't believe this is happening. Nope. No, Satan wants me to get impatient and mad. So I'm not going to. Okay. Let's go to the hospital. Let's do this. We will make this work.
Are you still, now that you're going to video, are you still going to be doing the drinks at the end of each show?
Oh, yeah. That's a staple. I got to keep doing that.
All right. Well, I have one for you. The last time you were on the show in episode 45, we talked about the Irish Catholic, which I had told you how to make. Well, everybody's going to think I have a drinking problem because I have a new drink that I wanted to introduce you to, and it's called the Kentucky Creamsicle. And what that is you take equal parts of Jim Beam orange and Jim Beam vanilla, and you pour them into a glass, and that's your Kentucky Creamsicle, and it tastes just like the creamsicle you get off the ice cream trucks.
Oh, wow. Okay. So my only question, first of all, that sounds amazing, and I'm going to go do it, but second of all, what saint comes to mind to pair with that drink?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I just was into the drink in it. I really would have to give it some thought. Maybe have me on your show and
that's a good idea.
By that time I'll have a saint lined up for you. I don't know. That's a great, I'll have to go through my book of saints right here.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, dude, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked because if that ever happens, you know, I'll have to have it on your show. So
that's a date.
So what, thanks.
That's awesome.
What time are you picking me up? When is the next show?
Probably. It's interesting. Interesting you say that. When I got done with the Screwtape Letters, I'm so emotionally drained, and like my brain is fried. In fact, during the letter, I was up for so many nights at different times that my sleep got so screwed up. We were at the beach. I know it's rough. We were at the beach, and Sarah said, "Can you go get dinner at this little restaurant up the way a little bit? You can walk there." So I walked towards it, and I stopped, forgot where I was, no joke. And I came back, and she's like, "What are you doing? Where's the food?" I'm like, "What food?" And she goes, "The food. You're supposed to go to the restaurant. We're hungry." I'm like, "I don't know where I'm at. What?" And she's like, she got scared. She's like, "Are you okay? Should we go to the hospital?" I said, "I'm fine. I think I'm fine." And then all day, my brain just was not working, like medically. It was like sitting in mass, having this sensation that I was sinking, and I had to grab some. I didn't literally grab, but grab something in front of me and pull myself out of it. I kept having this feeling like I was doing this. And I think one time I almost grabbed at nothing and tried to pull myself up, and I caught myself in mass. I'm like, "What am I doing?"
Wow.
And then I came home and passed out from sheer tiredness. And at like 6 at night, I woke up at 10 and was up to 1, and just, it was all weird for a while. But I just say that because my sleep was really messed up. And I think if I ever did it again, I would definitely do it earlier, like you were saying.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I want to wait a while. I think in the next 30, 40 days, I want to have something. I'll give you a little sneak peek. I got a podcast with somebody. I won't name her right now. She was born and raised in El Salvador and had to flee the country. She was Catholic, or baptized Catholic and everything. They had to flee the country because they were going to be killed.
Wow.
And they came to America, and she became a citizen. And yeah, wow. She's a very, very good story.
Well, talking with a good man is going to be talking with another good woman.
She's awesome. She's a good family friend.
Good. Hey, man, that's about it for tonight. So I hope you'll stay in touch. I just want you to know I really appreciated everything you went through, everything you did. Again, if there's anything I can ever do for you, please let me know.
Be on my show soon.
Yeah.
I want to get you on my show.
That would be great, man. I would truly, truly enjoy that. For my guest, Jay Goodman, my producer, David Imhoff, I'm Down the Hall Dave, praying always that your troubles be less, your blessings be more, and nothing but happiness come through your door. We'll see you next time.